Thank you. Yeah.
Just in time to change your title and proposal.
No, I cannot.
You cannot?
No.
Oh.
Because the promotion is effective from September.
Oh, really?
It's good. It's better to be assistant professor in a proposal because there is a favorable view.
That's true.
Yeah. Okay, so so I was describing to Sajid how to set up the heat map. So you need to convert you need to basically create ranges of your error from 0 to 100. Actually, you can get more than 100% error.
Yeah,
you could.
No.
Can you get more than 100% error?
At least in my data set, there is no more than 100% error. What's the error mean?
Me?
The meaning of the error. Meaning?
Error is percentage error. How do you calculate that?
Is observed
minus the actual,
the
mod of it,
divided
by the actual.
Okay.
Into 100.
Mm-hmm.
You mean predicted minus actual? Predicted minus
actual. Sorry, predicted minus actual divided by actual.
Okay. Into 100.
Normally, it can be more than
100. So it can be more than 100.
Yeah.
Right?
At least in my data set, there is not much.
Okay, so what you need to do is to map error ranges to heat levels. So you can say that low errors are low heat and high errors are high heat. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you can have an exponential mapping from error ranges to heat levels. So you can say level 0 of error is any error between 0 to, let's say, I don't know what base we used in the last discussion, but let's say base, if it is base 2, then anything from 0 to 2 is level 0 of error, any 2%, and anything from 2% to
4.
Is level 1, from 4 to 8 is 2, from 8 to 16 is 3, 16 to 32 is 4, and then 32 to whatever. What is the next one? 64 is 5, and then you can say anything about 64 is 6. It's because it's too much error anyway, and it's unacceptable or whatever it is that you... So then you create this matrix which has numbers from in the range 0 to 6. Now you can create fewer levels if you use a larger base, say base 4, and then you'll end up with fewer heat levels.
Okay.
But
in the beginning, how do you convert the matrix? How do you set up the matrix?
How do you set up the matrix?
Because what you said is just converting the one matrix to absolute matrix to some range matrix.
Yes.
Yeah, in the beginning, how do you find that matrix?
What do you mean in the beginning?
Because my data set is not in matrix format.
Yeah, but the matrix is the two dimensions that is created by the two dimensions that you need to investigate. So let's say one dimension is IO operations per second,
yeah,
the other dimension is what?
Yeah, but the problem is that...
And for each of those points, you will have...
For example, if you have ionize and IO, if you have two variables, ionize and IO, and you want to put the error values, so you need to convert some kind of matrix based on these two dimensions, create some matrix. But the problem is that because some of the data cells may be missing.
Okay.
So how do you represent the missing cells?
Missing cells. That's a good point. So why are some of the cells missing?
Because the...
You can erase the board if you want to. Or whatever part of the board you need to.
Okay, so... I have IO, IOs from competing IOs from range 1 to 7,000. And for example, you took ionize. That is fixed value 0.37. But these IOs, for example, take an example, let's say 100 IOs.
Mm-hmm. You need to split that into ranges as well. Split that into ranges, some reasonable ranges, and then you will have 1 point per range.
Yeah, but even in say 100 to 1000, let's say it is in a range.
Mm-hmm.
It may be possible that I have many values or may not have some values for 7.
Okay, then in that case you should get those values, otherwise it's not possible to create heat map.
And if there are multiple values, then
you need to have some average. Or you could say, or you could create a heat map where the lowest level, let's say the white space, is a data point not available. And then you start your range from level 1, and then which will be shaded gray, light gray, lightest gray to black. You could do that as. I think it's better to have the points than to have blank space in your heat map to say, well, we don't have these data. It's uncommon to see a heat map like that.
But if you have, say, if you put three ranges,
mm-hmm.
but in my case, I may have many values
in the same range.
In the same range.
Well, then you split it up further.
No. What I'm saying is that the splitting up further will not help. For example,
mm-hmm.
because I created these computing angles, for example, 100 to 1000, even with say zero, INI zero, but for different CPU and memory.
Mm-hmm.
So you have. For the same data set, you have multiple values.
Okay, so how do you solve this problem?
I would rather take average of this.
Mm, if that's possible, could do that. The first question is the heat map even appropriate in this situation? I mean,
yeah,
the advantage of a heat map is that you can represent more data with less space, if page space. That's the advantage. But you lose accuracy because you are converting absolute values into range
uh-huh.
measures. So you just know, well, this point lies in this range, but you don't know exactly where in that range. Now, that granularity of information is not important. So, for instance, I don't really care if my error is anywhere between 8 or 16%. I just need to know, well, it's in that range, then heat map is appropriate. So I think the heat map information has to be supplemented with other graphs. So one thing, you can view the heat map as not trying to show all the data that you have, but only one view of the data. And if you take that approach, it may be easier for you to create the heat map. I mean, whenever you run into these problems, what you need to do is you need to figure out what's a reasonable assumption and go with that. Don't think of it as roadblocks that, well, I ran into this roadblock and I cannot move further. You have to figure out some way around, workarounds, right? I think if you have a view that I want to show accurate information in the heat map, it's not going to work. So you just show some approximate information, and then if there are points of interest or areas of interest in the heat map, then you can focus on that and get going to more detail. So what happened to Kaushik? That he was the one who chose 3 p.m.
Maybe he's confused. I don't know. 3 or 3:30, I don't know.
It could be. Okay.
Mm.
Then, see if I can call him. Actually, I cannot. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so
okay, that's with the IU and IU9, but with CAP and memory it's very difficult to show the data values. Because in CAP and memory it doesn't make sense to have an average.
Well, with CAP and memory you don't even need ranges. You can just use absolute values for your CAP and memory as the two grid points. The only place where I see the ranges being used is for computing IOs per second. That is where you cannot really control.
Again, the same problem, right? If say CAP is 5,
mm-hmm,
and memory is 100.
Mm-hmm. I see what you mean now.
You could have multiple values.
Yeah. You had to fix something. I mean, you could have multiple values because you have different values of IO9.
So
you had to fix that. How can you show four dimensions when you have only possibility of two dimensions, right? So the other two dimensions have to fix. So you create multiple heat maps by fixing an IO9 to 3 or 7 and then show the data.
Then it's a very small data number of data, if you fix too much.
Small number of data?
Really small number of data, probably 7 or 8.
You should have, how many points you have on the CAP? How many different values of CAP do you have?
CAP 3.
3. And memory?
Memory 4.
4. So then you need to have 12 data points.
Uh-huh.
So you create a heat map of 3x4 if you want to show CAP in memory.
Yeah.
So you only have 3 on CAP and 4 on memory. How about the other two dimensions, IO, dice, and...
Actually, what we figured out that we mainly use 3 plus 3, something like that. 108 data points in total, different combinations.
Okay. Well, if you say you draw.
Oh, I see.
Okay.
So you need to do 108 experiments to get all these data points.
Yeah, that we have already.
Okay.
So actually, don't have that many data points. If you just use two-dimensional figure for the IOs, then you only have 12 figures there, right?
That's sometimes only 9 if you use 3x3.
That's not many.
Yeah. So maybe. Yeah, with few points, the heat map may not be the most effective use of space.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, you could do like a fractal heat map. So, I mean, this is a wild and crazy idea. So, to show on the paper. So let's say this is ionize and this is IOs per second. And for different points, let's say you have 3 points here and 3 points here, you have at each point you have a heat map. And within this heat map, you have the other two dimensions, memory and CAP. And maybe you can make out some. So we have everything on two-dimensional space. Mm-hmm. So for instance, if you see a lot of, now the key is that all these heat map cells need to use exactly the same mapping of error to heat. And if you see a lot of black in here, what that's telling you is regardless of the CAP and memory, because there is a lot greater influence of these two guys in determining the error ranges here. So just by looking at this, you can determine some stuff. So one possibility. We can do this because we have four dimensions. We have five dimensions, then we cannot do this. And because we don't have too many values. The number of heat maps are, you know, 12, right?
Mm-hmm. It might give you interesting insight. I mean, just to look at this two-dimensional heat map, if you see some of the heat maps are on an average darker than others, then you see the impact of the So, for instance, you can have
average heat as well. So you have the heat map, but you also have average heat at any point. That will tell you, okay, the relative errors for the outer resolution than the inner resolution.
So the heat is the error.
The heat is the not an error value, but the error value mapped to a level. A heat level, yeah, just like I described before. Then you have to, of course, provide a legend here, right? It says, okay, so this is the darkest, and then you get lighter and lighter and so on. So this is, let's say, 0 to, say, 4, and then 16, and then 64. Why are you so... You look terribly confused.
No, I'm not confused. I'm just figuring out how to make it.
How to put all these figures in paper? Use sub-figure.
No, not sub-figure. How to generate this heat map.
One heat map?
No, one heat map is easy, but this whole...
Yeah, but these are just sub-figures. You create each heat map individually. And then put sub-figures in the matrix, in a two-dimensional, in an array type, inside LaTeX. I'll give you some LaTeX samples if you're interested to generate heat maps and put them in sub-figures.
Okay.
Yeah. Send me an email if I can give you.
Actually, I got a heat map yesterday from Meta.
Yeah. So in the Borg paper, we use that. So you should borrow that from...
I think in that figure you also convert it to some heat label in a script, right?
Yes.
The only difference is my data sets are different. You have only one axis, I guess. Two, well, it's not two variables, you have only one variable.
Yeah, but we need the second dimension by splitting into cylinder groups. These are sectors and those are cylinder groups. There are two dimensions there. You need to have a matrix of heat levels to create a heat level. I mean, seems to be reasonable. I mean, you could now try with different ways of choosing the outer two axes and the inner two axes. And whichever looks the most interesting, we can show that. Right? And then for regions of interest, maybe we can have line graphs or something more detailed with actual values. What is your opinion?
So I have to see the final result.
I think if we sort of have, let's say, how many combinations can we have here? 4C...
No. I have for test result, I have 58 data points altogether for postmark.
Mm-hmm. Not 108.
Not 108.
So you would
now all the data I use for training.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So if you don't have 108 data points, then you cannot make the heat
maps. I was saying Goku said, but he just used only 25 combinations.
How many parameters does he have?
I think he also like something like that, two parameters.
Yeah, so it's 5 times 5.
25.
That's fine. I mean, here we have 3 times 3 times 3 times 4. We have greater number of parameters, keep that in mind. So the resolution that you have is weaker than the one in Google's paper, right? Fine, I mean, there are time constraints in terms of how many experiments you can perform. So taking that into account, I think it should be okay. Yeah. So with 58 data points, how are you going to create this? You cannot, right?
You have to somehow omit some of the points.
Hmm.
Or less regions.
Hmm. Okay, I'll leave that to you. This is something you should be able to figure out on your own. Okay, so what next?
Next is, I compiled the introduction,
just
grab out some of the stuff from me and put, mostly I follow the Kokoschik's line.
Okay.
Because we haven't done anything about deployment or distribution, of resource distribution.
Mm-hmm.
So I put it separate in the resource distribution part.
Okay.
And I'm finished with the data collection of other two benchmarks.
Okay, and how many data points do you have with those? With that, you can probably get a lot more, right? I mean, they're probably faster to run.
No, OLTP is a bit slower. OLTP is slower. CPU is fast.
No, the memory? The memory benchmark?
No, I have collected, and I still haven't collected the memory. I collected
okay.
The CPU and the OLTP.
Okay. So the CPU is faster, I'm
assuming. CPU is very fast.
Okay. How long does one experiment take?
CPU? CPU is...
Alright, I'm around
3 minutes.
3 minutes.
I'm over there.
So 300 minutes would be...
5 hours.
Right? And OLTP takes what, half an hour per experiment?
Per experiment.
Yeah,
some cases it's 10 minutes. If you give more resources, it's 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But if you constrain the resources, it takes too much time.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what about the memory benchmark?
Memory benchmark I haven't thought about yet.
Mm-hmm.
I was focusing on, because the data, when the data collection is going on, I couldn't do anything except the paper.
Mm-hmm. You can always think, right? I mean, there's no... no restriction in terms of thinking. Last time I think Ming suggested to create a custom memory benchmark.
Something like that.
And basically allocates a bunch of memory and touches random portions of this memory. So just, you know, maybe create an integer array and read random portions of this integer array. So I think that is something that you could do. Maybe there are existing benchmarks that do exactly that.
No, that sounds better, to read some portion of memory or write to some portions of, or read some portions of memory.
No, I'm saying that
There may be existing benchmarks that do exactly that. Instead of having to, I mean, it's probably a program that will take 10 minutes to write on your own if you wanted to. But there may be other more fancier benchmarks that you can configure and put it in your script in an easier way, perhaps. I leave that up to you. But seems like the memory thing should be straightforward. Is the behavior that we don't know yet how that's going to work out because of the I/O operations, right? Okay, so what else? So what are the next steps that you plan to do? I think the paper right now has an introduction, related work section. Is it particular to this paper, or you still have the previous related work?
I still have the previous related work.
Okay, so you certainly need to retain that version, but for the paper you need to make it more specific to the current. But there are not too many citations. I mean, there are only some 10 references or even
7
or 8. Yeah. So I'm sure there is more work out there that you can refer to, right?
Yeah, potentially, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there is a lot of work in application modeling. Resource consumption modeling for applications. I can forward you a paper that I worked on with my collaborator in IBM Tokyo Research Lab. And that paper was all about application resource usage modeling. And there are a whole bunch of references and related work section also written out for that.
But there are actually a whole bunch of other stuff I need to finish, because I need to finish the ANN modeling of other two.
Mm-hmm.
Other two benchmarks, I already have the data.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's also because I didn't have the time to post-process the data.
So the deadline is April 20th, right?
Yeah.
So what I would encourage you to do is to create a schedule for the various list of various tasks and the schedule, how you want to do each of them.
Okay.
And then we can refine it over email.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So, today is what day? 10th?
9th.
9th? 9th. Okay, today is 9th and we have exactly 11 days to get everything done. So, this is the last stage. So, time management is going to be very critical at this stage. I will probably be able to help with the writing after the 15th.
Okay.
Which is next Wednesday. But I'm hoping that by then you will have a lot more material in the paper so that I can go ahead and revise it in a systematic manner. And in terms of the graphs, I think this is one possibility. Maybe you can use it, or if you think that it's not working, just make, based on what Ming suggested last time, fix two parameters or fix three parameters and show the dependency on the fourth one or something like that.
Yeah.
You could do that, but you'll probably end up with a lot more graphs.
Yeah, but that's more like a 4x4 if this graph does not count. You can always fall back to use, so you have two dimension, you show the arrow, right?
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, you can show the arrow for different values of the third dimension, right? So essentially, you can have three dimension on a single two dimension figure, right? So then that gives you like four. You only need four graphs. And each graph has three dimension, right? You only need four graphs for one benchmark. So maybe
four
then,
graphs.
So
you have two axes, and the third dimension is the error dimension.
You can have multiple lines. So one curve is the error for one two-dimension, right? And but you can have multiple curves in the two-dimension figure.
So if you have two dimension and you show error, it is a surface, not a line.
What kind of data you have? You have like this, maybe both are IO, right?
Yeah.
And
fix the memory, and if you have curve like this, right?
This is error. Is it like this?
The error is the, are you saying the, this is y-axis is the error, or the y-axis is the error?
Okay. Yeah, I was wrong. I'm thinking about three dimensions.
Yeah.
Three dimensions like this.
So then the error will be a surface.
This is the arrow, yes.
Yeah.
And this is
I have one graph like this.
I saw that, yeah.
Mm. But this is with lines.
With lines?
Because it's only one error.
Yeah.
So if you have multiple sets, you can have a surface.
What do you mean it's one? No, it's a line. It has to be a surface because you have data points on a grid. So
I was confused about that graph myself.
So let's say these are my two dimensions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I have a grid of all possible points, right? So I need to have error values at each of these points, correct?
Okay.
You don't have a line, you have a surface. And then this is my error surface, which I don't know, it's going to look something like this. And then, right? That's your error. How can you have a line?
I think you're talking about the first figure you quoted in your graph, but that figure was different. Yeah, well, it was wrong. I think probably line figure per benchmark. It's still not that terrible. I mean, if you make the figure small enough, so you can fit all of them in half of the page again.
Yeah, so let me look at that figure because I was confused when you sent that.
I think that figure axis is different. Something else.
No, not here, not here. It's not put in the paper.
Oh, it's not in the paper.
Not that one? Okay.
So, where is it? It's in this one, 3D?
3D, yeah.
Yeah, this is what I was confused with that. And why is it going like this? Something back and forth. I think you have to do without lines, points. I mean,
only with points?
Yeah, just points, because it's a surface. And this line is completely useless, and it's giving you a false
impression.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you could do a surface like that, but even with graphs like that, you need nine of these guys, just like the heat map. Hey, Kaushik.
How do
you? Oh, you thought it was 3:30?
Yeah, that's what he used to say.
Yeah, no, but then later on, I guess we decided it was 3 o'clock, right? Based on your email, you said I'm available at 3 o'clock.
Yeah, I was out from 3 o'clock. I was just sitting in my office, just doing work.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, we've been talking since 3 o'clock. So
I'm sorry.
Anyway, what is the summary of the discussion? So, Sajid, why don't you summarize?
I'm stuck at the graph.
Yeah, I couldn't get it. I looked at the graph.
I think I draw it in a different, wrongly manner. I mean, I did it with lines. It should be with points only.
Okay.
Even with points, you don't get any information because
how
can you put a point in a three-dimensional surface and look at it in a 3D? It's going to be projected somewhere and you don't know where it sits. You have to have a surface so you get an idea of what's happening.
Yeah, the 3D points, it's nothing. You can't make anything out of that.
Yeah.
So we are having problem in the heat map, or what?
Yeah.
What's the problem?
Problem is that first is because you need to for heat map we need to put the data is put the error values in a matrix format.
Okay.
And there are some missing cells in the matrix if you consider.
Okay.
ayos and ayuna, because it's not in perfectly manner. It's not ordered.
Okay.
But I think we figured out how to fix that, right?
Yeah, we suggested that we should use some range for the ayos to specify to some values.
Ayos per second.
Ayos per second, and then even in for one pair, we may have different values for different CPU memory. For that, we could use the average of.
Okay.
No, you cannot do that. That's why you have this outer two axis, right?
Yes, I'm coming to that.
Yeah, you should not take an average. Because average really...
Well, average,
actually, I'm sorry, I guess this, you're talking about this part.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, then yeah, that's fine.
And within those specific pair, we could have a CPU memory subgraph of heat map.
That's
the best way to.
So something like a fractal heat map. So you have an inner heat map, and then you have basically an array of these heat maps. So now you have four dimensions.
Four dimensions. Yeah.
And one thing which you can also do is that you can take average of each heat map, the average heat of each heat map, to understand high level, more coarse grained dependency of error on the outer two dimensions.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you will see that here in this heat map, your error values are really small, right? And then in this heat map, maybe your error values are really large. And then you know, based on the average error values here, you can actually get some approximate information. So that's the discussion so far, I guess. And I suggested that Sajeev should make a list of tasks and that are outstanding, because our deadline is approaching fast, right? It's April 20th. And so I'm sort of busy until the 15th of April, but after that I will get involved in the writing. So the outstanding items are the method section, right? So we need to describe what it is that we do.
Mm-hmm.
In more formally, we don't have that yet. And the related work has to be more streamlined towards this paper rather than the previous one. The results section needs to be populated with all the data graphs and so on. What else?
We need to work on the introduction also, isn't it?
I think Sajeev said that he...
might somehow merged on my version with you, what you sent.
Okay.
Because right now we are focusing only on the modeling of an application. So mostly I used your writing, with some of the writing I used before.
Okay. The introduction, we probably will have to include a summary of results in the end.
You need to draw some diagram for the architecture also.
Yeah.
Draw some figure on that for the architecture.
Yeah.
I mean, let's just keep it simple to have four sections. Introduction.
How many pages?
Related work.
Eight or six?
Middleware? Oh, I think it's a big...
It's a big one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Eight or ten.
Okay.
I can... Okay,
that's okay.
So we have, you know, four basic sections that we need to worry about: introduction, related work, methods, method section, and result section. On each section, we need to make a list of items that still need to be addressed.
Maybe what we can do is, if we can, because you're focusing now on the experimental section.
Yeah.
If you, in the next 2 days, if we can just Mars related, come up with a related work, architecture, and the inter, and give us the document. Then in the meantime, me can work on the write up of the rest of the paper, where you focus on the graph generation experimental section.
Mm-hmm.
If you can give me a draft, if you can give us a draft like in the next 2 to 3 days, that will make it balanced.
Introduction and related work.
Methods, architecture, what methods.
Mm-hmm.
Really. If you can write that portion.
Okay.
And give it to us, then I can take a pass, me can take a pass, we can do a couple of iterations among ourselves before Raju become active.
Mm.
So
I first focus on that, then I give it to you, then in the winter I'll probably...
I think Ming has the same time constraints as I do.
Oh, okay.
You're both... In fact, he probably is going to be more busy than I am.
Then you can send it to me. I can work on
that
in the meantime.
I can help you after 16.
But actually what I was planning to first finish the experimental and section for.
Okay. You want to write the experiment section first? That's fine.
That's going to take most of the time. I mean, figuring out how to model, how to represent, which data sets to collect.
Okay, yeah. Why don't you do that? And that probably needs to be done at the earliest, and the other sections are perhaps more flexible.
Probably this weekend I'll finish with all the, at least some, the tabular representation of all the percentage error values across different applications.
Yeah. I mean, it would be good to then have the section itself ready so that you can pass it to Kaushik and, you know, at least he can work directly on the results section and later on work on the introduction.
So I'll probably finish the experiment section by
first.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's fine.
Okay. All right. Anything else that you wanted to discuss?
No, at this point, no.
Okay. So when do we meet next?
We could meet earlier.
On
Monday.
Monday?
Yeah. Tuesday, my wife is coming back, sir, up to.
Okay. So Monday is better.
Monday is okay.
Okay, if you have enough results to discuss.
Yeah, we should look at it.
Okay. All right, so Monday, what time? Monday. We have our paper club at 3 o'clock,
mm-hmm.
and then I have another meeting at 4. But other than that, I'm free, except for 3 to 5 p.m. See the rest of the day.
We
can do 5 o'clock? Okay.
Perfect.
Yeah. 5?
Okay.
All right. Let's do 5.
Okay. Thank you. So tomorrow I can have time back.